All right, for everyone with staying, I know everyone knows this verse. You don't have to pull out your Bible for this verse. Genesis 3:15. And I, referring to the Lord God, will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You may be seated. California has just experienced another crisis. It has seen its biggest outbreak of wildfires. It broke all past records. Some 750,000 acres were burned. It could be more than that. I kept each day getting it going up and up. About 9,700 homes destroyed, and there were big homes, a lot of them, with 57,000 more in danger, and 74 and climbing lives lost, with only about 1,100 individuals missing. There could be as many as 300 or more lives lost before the fires are under control. Here is what the November 10th U.S. News and World Report wrote about this devastating event. Quote, throughout the American West, trees, already short of nutrients because of crowding, are suffering from a four-year-old drought, the worst in just 300 years. Bark beetles have attacked the weakened trees across much of the West, killing up to 70% of them in some areas. In the San Bernardino National Forest, beetles have ravaged 500,000 acres so far. 500,000. When fire does break out, the crowding allows flames to leap treetop to treetop in a fast-moving crown fire, as happened in parts of Southern California last week, unquote. California had a six-year drought at the end of the 1980s. Now to suffer through another multi-year drought, the state also has a $38 billion deficit, the worst of any state in the United States. What is happening in California? One disaster after another is striking California. These deadly disasters are repeatedly labeled, quote, the worst ever, unquote. With all the disasters that have struck California the past few years, it's as if the state is under a curse. Another quote, in 1991, wildfires in Oakland, California destroyed 2,900 structures, and 25 people died from the fires. These fires were the worst ever in California. You can see how the storm now is a lot worse than that. The state is now struggling with a budget deficit that's the worst ever that any American state has faced. So it's getting worse and worse. Is God cursing California? The book of Daniel is a book for the latter day, the time we are living in right now. Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 and 9 says this, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel prophesied to those of us in this end time about other end time prophecies in the first five books of the Bible. Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Evil comes upon us because of our sins. Daniel is referring specifically to the curses in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. You can read about all the blessing God gives if we obey Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and then notice the curses. I'll read six verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 20. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, unto thou be destroyed, and unto thy perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Unquote. Wow, that's kind of sobering. Repeatedly, God talks about curses. These curses are to come upon Israel, mainly the American and British peoples, because they have forsaken God. God punishes us with natural disasters. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. God says he visits or punishes us with the fire of the devouring fire. Here's a picture of the fire in California. Do you notice what is strange in this picture of the aftermath of the fire in California? What is it? Trees. Look at all the trees. The homes are completely burned up. There's nothing left. I can't find part of a roof or anything. It's all destroyed. But look at all the trees. But why are all those trees not burned up? Shouldn't they have burned to a crisp like the rest of the environment is? Many are still green and alive. If anybody answers that question, let me know. I have no idea what happened. Here's something I'm not sure is true or not. California wildfires line up exactly in the same path as the California high-speed rail system. Here's the fires, and here's the rail system. Now you might say, what has this got to do with anything? Well, the second photograph will take a short introduction and explanation. Diane Feinstein's husband, Richard Bloom. Now, why do they have different names? They're married. Feinstein and Bloom. Is it Bloom? Is that right? Got the contract. Her husband got the contract to build a high-speed rail system approximately where all the fires have burned. The question is that a coincidence? It could be just a coincidence, or it could be some underhanded. I have no idea. And get this. The fourth richest person in California is Nancy Pelosi. Her husband owns most of the stock in that company. A little shenanigans going on. Most of the people wouldn't sell their land, so I guess they thought it'd be easier to burn them out. That supposition could be true, could not be true. And there's a picture of Diane and her husband. Richard Bloom, husband of United States Senator Diane Feinstein, heads the Bloom Family Partners investment of at least $1 million in the Colonial American Homes Holdings. Bloom is the billionaire He's a billionaire. That's what, $1,000 million? A billionaire founder of the private equity firm Bloom Capital Partners. Colonial Homes are owned under the umbrella of Colonial Capital, one of the largest investment firms in the world. The senator's disclosure describes Colonial American Homes as a, quote, leading owner and provider of high-quality single-family residence for rental across the United States, unquote. What it doesn't say, Diane left this out of her report, is the rental stock is made up of foreclosed homes purchased by a handful of investor groups and hedge funds in the aftermath of the 2007-2008 financial crisis and real estate crash. You remember those days? This is exactly what Richard Hoskins said in his books about one of the assets the usury system provides for the lenders. It gives the homes and farms to investors, many of whom are strangers when they are foreclosed. Bloom is often identified as a quintessential Democratic Party insider with ties that run the gauntlet from Jimmy Carter to the Dalai Lama. His private equity firm manages about $500 million in assets, and the bulk of the fund's portfolio is dominated by holdings in the world's largest commercial real estate services firm. Colonial American Home has not been an especially good landlord. Rents are above average. Utilities general aren't included, and maintenance is poor at best. Moreover, would-be first-time homeowners in California often find themselves squeezed out by cash-rich corporate buyers like Colonial American Homes. Rents are going up. Do you ever know rents to go down? They always go up. And the landlord is nowhere to be seen. Well, that's Dianne Feinstein and her husband, Nancy Pelosi and her husband. They're all billionaires. What a racket. Nancy Pelosi will probably be the Speaker of the House. Well, a couple of verses. John chapter 15, verse 17 to 19. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, do you love everybody? Does that word, that you love one another, does that mean everybody? If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's what Jesus said, the world hates you. Now, hate is to feel extreme enmity towards. Oh, there, God put enmity in two different seed lines, didn't he? That's the regard with active hostility. Example sentence, hates his country's enemies. To have a strong aversion to, find very distasteful, hates hypocrisy. The synonym of hate is abomination. Does God have any abominations? An antonym of love is abomination, hate, hatred, loathing, and rancor. Hate is an antonym of love. Is a Christian supposed to love or hate evil? Is a Christian supposed to love or hate individuals who hate our God? Is a Christian supposed to love everything and everybody? According to the Bible, if the land is sold, it would revert to its original owners within 50 years. It's called the Jubilee Year. So in actuality, the land remained with the Anglo-Saxon owner's family forever. That's God's law. All this has a bearing on what I'm about to tell you. A newspaper article. Now, after our church dinner was over last Sunday, I sat down and read the paper. The Cincinnati Inquirer had a series of articles, 5 to be exact, in the forum section of the newspaper. As I looked them over, I thought this is something that is unusual. They are all from the same source. It covered 3 consecutive pages. The first article was, Leaders Must Model the Law of Love, written by, in small print up here it says, the Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition of Cincinnati, or MARCC, guest columnist. They wrote this whole article. They got a picture here and a picture of, this is a picture of, in front of a house with the Israel flag and the U.S. flag together. The second article, this is the forum section. This is last Sunday's paper, after our dinner. Looking at Future of Jewish Americas, written by Gary P. Lola, professor of the American Jewish Experience and executive director of the American Jewish Archives at Hebrew Union College. That's the second article. The third article, Hate Against One of Us is Hate Against All of Us, written by Shakila T. Almond, chair of the board of the Islamic Center of Greater Cincinnati. So she's a Muslim. She wrote this. The third page. The fourth article was Hateful Acts Strengthen Faith and Resolve, written by Michelle R. Goodhigh, pastor of Grace African Methodist Episcopal Church in Evanston, Cincinnati suburb. She's a black woman who's pastor of this black church. That's her article. And the fifth one was, Our Places of Worship Must Open New Doors, written by Henry Zorn, pastor of Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Anderson Township. 3 whole pages in the forum section. Well, I read all 5 articles. I'm going to give a report of the first one. It covered 1 whole page. You can read. If you want to take the paper and read it, you can read it. The one that covered the entire page was written by the unnamed columnist from the Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition of Cincinnati. After I read all 5 articles, the thought hit me. Who was the Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition of Cincinnati? Anybody know who they are? I went to their website, and here is some of what was posted on it. Here's the first one. Greater Cincinnati's first Festival of Faith. Religions contribute to the soul of the community. You probably can't read that up there. They lift up compassion as a pathway, serpent, to enrich relationships that build a welcoming and vibrant community. Celebrating our community's rich religious diversity. Sunday, June 24th, 2018. 1 to 5. Oh, it's at Xavier University Cindos Center. Free admission. 50 plus faith-based exhibitors. 12 world religions. Fun activities for all ages. Maybe there's a zip line. He runs. Music and entertainment. Workshops. Culture of foods and merchandise. 50 exhibits, 12 world religions. Now the next one. Stand Against Racism. Stand Against Racism is a signature campaign of the YWCA USA to build community among those who work for racial justice, to raise awareness about the negative impact of institutional and structural racism in our communities. This campaign is one of our larger national strategy to fulfill our mission of eliminating racism. Well, if you eliminate racism, you eliminate the Bible. Stand Against Racism 2018, Courage Under Fire. The 2018 Stand Against Racism will feature a regional coalition against hate. Oh, they're tying racism with hate. Representatives from coalition member agencies will share stories and their experiences with having courage under fire. Community members will have the opportunity to learn more about the coalition, including how to get involved. The mission of the Office of Human Relations is to serve as a catalyst to promote the building of positive relationships between and among the various groups and cultures that make up Cincinnati. The YWCA Greater Cincinnati Stand Against Racism campaign will be held April 28th and 29th. Oh, the next thing I got, MLK Day 2018, MLK, oh, Michael Luther King, his real name, Honor King and Racism. You want to honor Martin Luther King, you end racism. National Underground Railroad Freedom Center to purchase tickets. Begins at the Freedom Center. Interfaith Prayer Service. Fountain Square. Music Hall Celebration. Featuring the award-winning MLK Choral Keynote Speaker. Dr. Lisa Bates in World Place, Cincinnati, Australia, and so forth. Mercy Health. Mercy Health. If not now, when? Oh, the next one. This is all on their website. Zion Baptist Church, special events. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Interfaith Vesper Service. Hate is a great burden to bear. We invite all to join us in the celebration of the legacy of Dr. King and his continuous important message of unity and social action. Here's an interesting sentence. The service features messages of humanity from faith leaders of the Christian, Jewish, and Islamic communities. What is a message of humanity coming from a Christian minister? The message of the gospel of the kingdom. And you notice who is this person here? Her name is Monica Posey. She is the president of Cincinnati State Technical and Community College. I must comment on this poster. On the right side, it says there'll be messages of humanity from faith leaders of the Christian, Jewish, and Islamic communities. Messages of humanity. And notice who the special guest speaker is. Dr. Monica Posey, she is president of Cincinnati State Technical and Community College. I guess that college is all for this, if the president's for it. Notice what Richard Hoskins had to say about this situation. I'm quoting directly from his book. College educators who had turned out the hundreds of books on racial studies in the 1920s decrying racial interbreeding, suddenly found that those who promoted integration and who participated in Klan bashing received professorships and tenure. Those who didn't were passed over. The reason for this is that College Board of Visitors are composed of substantial contributors to the colleges. Corporations are their most substantial contributors. Banks elect most corporate officers. NKU, who's a big sponsor of them? BB&T Bank. The reason is that most stock is held in bank trust accounts by individuals to legally avoid inheritance taxes. The stock held by banks is registered in the street name. Street name corporate stock is voted by the banks. The banks in this way elect many, if not most, corporate directors. These bank-elected directors order the corporations to make grants to colleges. These corporate directors and wealthy stock owners making the grants are usually those elected to the college boards. When elected to a college board, they tell the college who to hire and whom to fire. In effect, usury banks run America's colleges. Now, don't turn to picture next. Who do you think I found represented in this agency, the MARCC? Who do you think the next one's a picture of? Who do you think is going to be on this poster? Mr. Alphonse Gerhardsheitstein, Esquire. Hebrew Union College, Meyerson Hall, Clifton Avenue, Cincinnati, $25 in a person, per person advance, $10,530. He spoke at the 47th annual meeting. That was in 2017. He's part of this group. Oh, there are many more positions that this organization holds too, like gun control. Here's an interesting one. Creating a safe environment for the safety after the Ray Tensing trials. Remember the Ray Tensing trials? Etc., 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 that you can find by visiting their website. But I will stop here. This group is against almost everything that we stand for. They are the opposite of what we believe. We are not a part of this blasphemous group, and I'm happy to say that. But it's in the Cincinnati Inquirer. Three whole pages. It's exactly what Dick Hoskins says in his books. Is he right or wrong? Now, here's what he says. Quote, in the 1930s, the little town of Culpeper had two newspapers, the Star and the Exponent. They lost much circulation to the establishment-supported national papers, which carried more and varied news and cost less. Since the Star and the Exponent were restoration papers, little national advertising came their way. They were forced to merge and make ends meet. So they had the new Star Exponent paper, did well until the owner died. Then the paper had to be sold to pay the new inheritance taxes. A chain bought the Star Exponent, and it now operates profitably, carries the usual news items, receives national advertising subsidies, and reads like any other establishment paper. This is what has gradually happened to most of the small county and town media in the rest of the nation. Unquote. Well, a similar thing happened in the city of Cincinnati. It went from three to two newspapers, Cincinnati Post, the Cincinnati Times, and Cincinnati Star. Times Star merged, an evening and morning newspaper. Soon one of these newspapers, Cincinnati Post, the evening newspaper, went out of business. Cincinnati Times Star remained, but it had been bought and its name changed to Cincinnati Inquirer. It was bought and owned by a Freemason. His name was Carl Lindner. And now the article that the MARCC wrote to the Cincinnati Inquirer was put on their forum section in last Sunday's edition. Here is the first one. Here's how it starts. We, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, and Unitarian Universalist, at least they didn't put them in with the Protestants, denominational leaders and members of the Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition of Cincinnati, grieve for those wounded and killed at the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting last Saturday. And you know what the Tree of Life Synagogue, what that means, the serpent in the Tree of Life. My comments, Romanists, the religious beast system, Protestants, who are protesting what? Jewish, haters of Jesus Christ and his people, Muslim, descendants of Ishmael, Unitarian Universalists believe all individuals of the world will be saved. Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition Cincinnati, an interfaith group, are all grieving together about the shooting in Pittsburgh. They are part of the establishment which ever seeks support to continue to do what? To rule. They look upon those who obey its edicts with favor. Those who follow the laws of God instead may find themselves looked upon as rebels. Now, who are we? Are we on the side of the Roman Catholic, the Judeo-Christian Protestant, the Muslim, the church that believes that everyone on the earth will be reconciled and saved? Or are we on the side of keeping the laws of our God? Which side are we on? Their gods or our Lord? Richard Hoskins tells in his book exactly what's going on. He writes, quote, "Most of the lawful, those who follow the laws of God, identify the way of life with them, simply call themselves Christians or Christian identity, instead of Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, and so forth. The names of the lawless cults are legion. Being a true Christian means that you follow what our Savior told us to obey, the commandments, statutes, and ordinances of God." Hoskins adds, quote, "Western Christianity has always had someone who tried to avoid some restraining part of Christian law. Sometimes it was church officials, sometimes the king, sometimes strangers. To survive, the strangers attempted to bribe the Christian rulers and convert individual Christians to ensure their safety. If the strangers succeed, the Christian learns the strangers' ways, and a transition religion is born, which follows the teachings of the stranger's God, still calling itself Christian, but which ignores its laws." Now, later I'll tell you what he wrote about the transition religion. I'll go back now to the MARCC article. "Furthermore, we acknowledge the other act of violence last week in Jefferson County, Kentucky, that involved another house of worship, an African-American Baptist church, followed by the killing of two African-Americans in the parking lot of Kroger." That was down by Louisville. "Both involved differences over religious beliefs that were fed by anti-Semitism and racism. Both are hate crimes. Life is most precious gift from our Creator. When one life is lost through violence, we all mourn," unquote. Well, I've got to say a few things about that paragraph. Do the members of this organization mourn when any life is lost through violence? What about a Palestinian who was murdered by a Jewish soldier? And I don't understand how they can even mention anti-Semitism with the murdering of blacks, but they say the word racism and mention that it is a hate crime. They are trying to get as many people's minds set to be that any news against the Jewish people and other races is hateful and is a crime. Is it a crime to say that there were not 16 million Jews killed in concentration camps in World War II? Or was it 10 million? Or was it 6 million? Or was it 4 million? Or was it 1.1 million? Or was it 250,000? Is it wrong to say the bombing of cities in Germany, like Dresden, which killed 3/4 of a million Germans, mainly women and children, was all right? I will say that that's the true Holocaust, is when we bombed those cities with firebombs. If you read about that, I read about it on Wikipedia, so it's very knowledge. The British came and bombed, and we came and bombed, all 24 hours. People had to go underneath to escape the fires. They couldn't get out. They found them underneath in the bomb shelters dead. They burn up. Hey, anybody see the fires in California? The people were burned up. And they were killed as they were in their cars. They were killed in their homes. Oh, hey, there's payback. You don't do that to your brother. We're getting paid back. I tell you, if I lived in California, I'd get on my knees and I would forgive me of that sin that happened in World War II. Do you remember what the YWCA campaign is all about? You remember what it said? They say that the 2018 Stand Against Racism involved a coalition against hate. They are trying to say that if you are a racist, then you are a hater. They don't define what a racist is. God is a racist. He loves his people. He hates those of the seed line of the serpent. God was king of the covenant seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his seed. He was not king of all the nations of the earth. He fought against his people's enemies. It says so in the Bible. Think the Canaanites don't know that God fought against them? He is many, many times in the Bible referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his seed. He is never referred to as being the God of anybody else. He is never referred to as being the God of Abraham and Ishmael, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. God is a racist. So YWCA, is our God hateful? I'm not going to buy any more Girl Scout cookies. Or YWCA. Heck with it. Now back to the article. We know as a local and global community that violence begets violence. It is an abhorrent and act of hatred aimed at the other. The stranger, who may be the person who worships differently, whose skin is a different color, is disabled or handicapped, of a different gender or sexual orientation, or from another country who may be escaping persecution or desires to save their child from violence, unquote. Well, I've got a comment on that paragraph. The stranger who worships differently, does that mean worships a different God? Sure it does. Was our God wrong when he ordered his people to fatally kill all the Canaanites who are residing in their promised land? Their promised land, not the Canaanites' promised land. What if the person worships a God who has the belief that homosexuality is another lifestyle, while your God says that it is an abomination to him? Two opposite views. Which one are you to believe? Now, here's a picture in the article. Two white women honoring the death at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. They're putting flowers. Two women placed flowers outside the Tree of Life Congregational Synagogue in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh on October 29, 2018, after 11 were killed and six other people were wounded Saturday. Robert Bowers allegedly burst into the Tree of Life Congregational Synagogue and screamed anti-Semitic epithets and open fire on the congregants, law enforcement officials said. I'm not sure if that's true. And Robert Bowers may have screamed anti-Semitic epithets, but that is not who the Jewish Ashkenazi Canaanite victims were. They are descended from Japheth and not from the pure seed line of Shem. Now I'll go back to the article. Whatever the difference between us, it expands when we separate ourselves from our sisters and brothers. It's up to all of us to remedy that gulf. the human community lessens this space when more of us get to know those of other races and cultures different from our own, unquote. So you're separate, it expands, you get to know them, and it's contract. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is this what our God told us to do? You go out there, and you integrate and intermingle with these people and get to know them. And you say, did he say that? To integrate ourselves with other races and cultures that is different from ours so we could get to know them better? God knew that this was the wrong thing to do. We are forbidden to learn the way of the heathen. We're forbidden to learn the way of the heathen. Big tree, the way of the heathen, big tree decorated. They have Christmas trees in the airport now. Already in the airport. Light bulbs decorate Christmas trees. Not even Thanksgiving. Oh, that's the way of the heathen. We don't separate ourselves from our sisters and brothers, but we separate ourselves from individuals who are not in the covenant that God made with our fathers. They are not our sisters and brothers. Everyone in the world are not sisters and brothers. It's racial. And if our God was the creator of all peoples, and skin color doesn't make any difference, why did God make the different races? You tell me that. If they all can intermarry, what's the sense of having different races in the first place? I'd like to have that question answered. Now I'll go back to the article. We as leaders take our roles seriously. We know that others follow what we espouse. Oh, sheep follow the leader. Believe and act upon. This is a demanding and weighty responsibility that we carry. It calls us to be consistently compassionate, wise, humane, respectful, and forgiving. We ourselves and other civic leaders, we hold ourselves and other civic leaders to the highest standard, the law of love. That is based on nonviolence, welcoming, civility, understanding of differences, and honor for the basic wonder of humanity. Proclaiming this law together, especially in the face of such violence, makes us stronger people of faith and Americans, unquote. I got a comment about that paragraph. They love all the others who have a different opinion than they hate. That's what they're saying. The Romanist, the Judeo-Christian, the Jew, and the Muslim are the ones that keep the law of love. They're the ones, in their own opinion, who are the stronger people of faith and are stronger Americans. And if you want to be a perfect person of faith and a strong American, you have to be like them. How are they stronger people of faith when they are multi-faith? And how are they stronger Americans when most of their beliefs, if not all, were against what the founding fathers of this country established? How many of the leaders of the beginning of this Protestant nation were Muslim, Jewish, or Judeo-Christian, or Unitarian Universalist? Question mark. So how are they stronger Americans? The article continues. We are up to the task of leadership because we know that it is based on what holds all humanity together. Without courageous leaders to model this law of love, societies and cultures become tribal, pick up arms, draw weapons, and perpetrate violence rather than protect what is dear, the gift of life that all of us have received. We strongly urge unequivocally that all leaders, from the president to the neighborhood civic leader, do the same, unquote. I got to make a comment about that one. This law of love is what holds humanity together. If you don't keep this law, then you perpetrate violence rather than protect what is dear. Then who are the two seed lines of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? The Bible says that God put enmity in both seeds. If God put hatred in two seed lines, then how can there be a law of love among all members of the individuals of the earth? Are there members of the seed of the serpent in this list of signees of this article? Here's at the end of the article, they give the list of all these people who signed it. The Metropolitan Area Religious Coalition Cincinnati Statement is on behalf of its membership leaders. Archbishop Dennis M. Schnurr, Cincinnati Archdiocese. Bishop Thomas Brendenthal, Diocese of Southern Ohio. Bishop Suzanne Darcy Dillahunt of Southern Ohio Synod, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Rabbi Margaret J. Meyer, Jewish Community Relations Council, and past president of the MARCC. Reverend Dr. Todd Anderson, District Superintendent, Ohio River Valley District United Methodist Church. Reverend Carl Robinson, Associate Minister, Southern Ohio, Northern Kentucky, United Church of Christ. Lee Meyer, President, Unitarian Universalist Council of Greater Cincinnati. Reverend Mark Bohar, President, Baptist Ministers Conference of Greater Cincinnati and Vicinity. Enam Ilyas Nisad, resident Enam, Cincinnati Islamic Community Center of Greater Cincinnati. Jim Newby, Public Minister, Religious Society of Friends of Greater Cincinnati. Pastor Leslie H. Jones, President, International Denominational Minister Alliance of Greater Cincinnati. And David Tistort, Disciples of Christ of Southwest Ohio. Whew. Richard Hoskins comments in one of his books that, quote, one of today's transition religions is called Judeo-Christianity. I, Richard Hoskins, know of a Judeo-Christian church which claims to follow the old fundamental basic truths of the Bible. A great many members of that church do. It was years before I discovered that this outspoken church, which professed to go by God's teachings, held few beliefs that were not negotiable. Over the years, the beliefs and practices of the church reversed themselves to become the exact opposite of what they had been earlier. They had been changed to accommodate changed political and social conditions, which ensured continued tax exemption, unquote. Well, Southern Baptists admit that in the past they were teaching the devil's doctrine. And since 1995, they put that devil's doctrine away and now teach racial reconciliation. They say that they taught the devil's doctrine since the time of their inception, but since then, when it was discovered in 1995 that it was the wrong doctrine, they switched. So all their preachers were teaching the devil's doctrine till 1995? And now they say they are now teaching God's doctrine. Hoskin continues, many ordinary people are ignorant of the difference between Christianity and Judeo-Christianity. They see only Judeo-Christianity's omnipresence. It's everywhere. It is almost the only form of Christian religion that is allowed to be widely advertised in Western society today. That is a great sense. It is almost the only form of Christian religion that is allowed to be widely advertised in America today. It is on television, it's in books, on billboards, and in newspapers. It is the sole respiratory of recognition and honors dispensed by government. In return for the establishment's tax exemption, it avoids offending the establishment by ignoring Christian law that condemns those who dispense the honors and tax exemption, unquote. Chosen God or chosen people? How could we say with any certainty that widespread humanism can be found throughout all Christian churches today? Well, consider this. All religions have one thing in common, and that is they tend to carry the thought that people can choose their own God. But this idea is not found throughout the Bible. Jesus lost all his followers, except the disciples, when he told them that following him was not like all the other religions of the world in which the people chose their own God. Some people will choose Baal or Moloch as their God. Others will choose a totem pole, a rock, Mary, Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, Lilith, or the Lord Mattea. But with Christianity, God chooses the people. He will have to follow him and be his people. All religions of the world are based upon a chosen God concept. But real biblical Christianity, like Hebraism, is based upon a chosen people concept. As Jesus put it, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Thus it appears that a religious choice by man is split, divided into those who follow the one chosen God concept of their faith versus the biblical chosen of God concept of Christianity that God affirms in many statements, such as this in regards to the chosen Israel. It's Amos chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Judeo-Christian, please answer that verse. Who did they choose? Who did God choose? He certainly did not choose all the individuals of the world. Do you believe what was written in last Sunday's forum of the Cincinnati Enquirer? The paper said that the articles were an examination of how people of faith in Greater Cincinnati are dealing with and responding to recent violent attacks on places of worship. Jewish, Muslim, and Christian clergy share their stories of pain, overcoming, and unity provide a snapshot of what it means to worship in a climate of hate and intolerance. Since when do Jewish, Muslim, and Christians agree on what the Bible says? The Christian's holy book is the Bible. Both Testaments, I might add now. The Muslim's holy book is the Quran. And the Jewish holy book is the Talmud. The members of the MARCC have ignored what the Bible says and are teaching the Talmud. May God have mercy on his people. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.